And so they were content to await events while keeping an eye on Mother Giry. Richard would not have her spoken to. "If she is a Confederate," he said, "the notes are gone long ago, but in my opinion she is merely an idiot."
"She's not the only idiot in this business," said Moncharmin pensively.
"Well, who could have thought it?" moaned Richard. "Don't be afraid. Next time I shall have taken my precautions." The next time fell on the same day that beheld the disappearance of Christine Daae. In the morning a note from the ghost reminded them that the money was due. It read, "Do just as you did last time. It went very well. Put the 20,000 in the envelope and hand it to our excellent Madame Giry." And the note was accompanied by the usual envelope. They had only to insert the notes. This was done about half an hour before the curtain rose on the first act of Faust. Richard showed the envelope to Moncharmin. Then he counted the 20,000-franc notes in front of him and put the notes into the envelope, but without closing it. "And now," he said, "let's have Mother Giry in." The old woman was sent for. She entered with a sweeping courtesy. She still wore her black taffeta dress, the color of which was rapidly turning to rust and lilac, to say nothing of the dingy bonnet. She seemed in a good temper. She at once said, "Good evening, gentlemen. It's for the envelope, I suppose?" "Yes, Madame Giry," said Richard, most amiably. "For the envelope, and something else besides." "At your service, Monsieur Richard, at your service. And what is the something else, please?" "First of all, Madame Giry, I have a little question to put to you." "By all means, Monsieur Richard. Madame Giry is here to answer you." "Are you still on good terms with the ghost?" "Couldn't be better, sir, couldn't be better." "Ah, we are delighted. Look here, Madame Giry," said Richard in the tone of making an important confidence. "We may just as well tell you among ourselves. You're no fool." "Why, sir," exclaimed the box-keeper, stopping the pleasant nodding of the black feathers in her dingy bonnet, "I assure you no one has ever doubted that." "We are quite agreed, and we shall soon understand one another. The story of the ghost is all humbug, isn't it? Well, still between ourselves, it has lasted long enough." Madame Giry looked at the managers as though they were talking Chinese. She walked up to Richard's table and asked rather anxiously, "What do you mean? I don't understand." "Oh, you understand quite well. In any case, you've got to understand. And first of all, tell us his name." "Whose name?" "The name of the man whose accomplice you are, Madame Giry."
"I am the ghost's accomplice? I, his accomplice in what, pray?"
"You do all he wants."
"Oh, he's not very troublesome, you know."
"And does he still tip you?"
"I mustn't complain."
"How much does he give you for bringing him the envelope?"